It is the NFL playoffs. It is playoff time. We have a Hall of Famer on the line, two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time NFL Offensive Player of the Year, NFL League MVP, 2017 into the Hall of Fame, Terrell Davis. TD, I watched your Hall of Fame speech today, and I don't know if I can do this interview right now. You had me in tears, man. It was you really prepared for it, and it was a beautiful message, so thank you. It was inspiring.
Oh, no, thank you. I appreciate it, man. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. And, you know, I just really just try to tell my story. And at the end of the day, I wanted to try to, you know, send something to somebody who might be watching, whether it's a little girl, a little boy who feels like they're in a situation where, you know, it doesn't look good. And so just kind of want to let them know, man, that, you know, just keep hoping, keep pushing along, because you really never know where you're going to end up. And so hopefully that was kind of message that I was able to send.
Yeah, I was relating to you because, you know, I lost my mom at a young age. You're talking about losing your dad at 12 and a million other things happening where you took a turn where things could have gone wrong in your life. You had a shotgun pointed at you, and you get home after nothing bad happened in that moment, and you committed to being as good as you can be. And you had and George Allen recruits you to Long Beach State. He passes away. They cancel football, and you just keep on moving. We'll get to George in a second here, but where's that inner strength coming from? Because you had a lot of up and down early in your life. I mean, it wasn't anywhere close to perfect.
Yeah, I would like to think it came from my parents, especially my mom, because I just watching her growing up, and she never made excuses, and it wasn't always great. You know, I saw my mom and my dad, and the relationship, it wasn't the best. You always see your parents get into arguments, and you realize that, nah, that's not what you thought it would be like growing up. But I just kind of made sure that whatever I did, that my mom was always in my thought in terms of making sure that I didn't disappoint her. And I knew what she was going through and how hard she worked to give us food, to make sure we went to school, to give us all the stuff that we had. So at a minimum, I was just like, hey, man, just straighten your life up. You have a choice. You're not forced to do it so that you can make your mother proud. And that was after my dad had passed. That's kind of, you know, that was my mentality. And just kind of try to be the best son, the best brother, the best, the best cousin you can be. And that's kind of what I focused on.
And you still had your father in your thoughts there, because clearly it was somebody that you looked up to and wanted to prove yourself to, even though he wasn't around.
Yeah, you know, and I wondered, you know, for all these years I would go through, and I knew there was something inside of me that drove me. And I just kind of remember as a kid and really thinking, you hear my dad use the phrase, mama's boy. And my dad treated me a little different than he did my other five brothers. You know, I was the baby of the family, and I would try to do things to seek his approval. And I'll go play football. It's a tough sport, so let me go play football. And that was kind of initially why I played football, was to try to gain his respect. And but I ended up loving football. I started to like it. And so the whole time I'm playing the game, and, you know, the way I felt he saw me was a little different than he did before, because now I'm playing this kind of tough guy sport, and I was pretty good, and I would have him giving me compliments and coming to the game, and that was our way of connecting. And then, that was it. And then when he passed away, it just kind of left. I felt like I didn't have to prove anything to anybody after that. And I feel like, you know, he's gone, and it was tough for me to have kind of that motivation. And then lost it. And then, you know, eventually ended up getting that back. But that was it. That was kind of why, he's always been there. And when I would have those moments, I would think about him too and think, you know, if my dad was here, would he be proud of me seeing me the way I am now? And that served as sort of motivation when I was at my deepest and darkest moments.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, it was all over your speech there, and looking back on your life, it was really beautiful stuff. I'm curious too, you know, you're at Georgia, you're not lighting up the college football landscape, you're having a nice career, but you're a sixth round pick. Did you know?
You said that politely. You're not lighting up the football landscape.
Well, you know, I thought that was a nice way of massaging what was going on in there. I'm just saying, did you know deep down, hey, look, if you give me an opportunity, I'm going to, you know, be a star in the NFL? Did you have that thought going on?
I didn't, you know. I think a lot of people don't believe it, but I did not think about playing football professionally until later. I mean, really until late my senior year. And like you said, I wasn't having a great college career. So why would I think that I could have a great pro career? And there was really one moment that happened that kind of got me to realize that I wasn't living up to not only other people's expectations, but my own expectations. And it was when I was injured, and it was like a 5-game stretch my senior year. I had a torn hamstring and I was waiting to get back in, and it dawned on me that I may never get a chance to play football again, because Hines Ward was there as a freshman and he was a starting running back when I was out. He was playing well. So I said, even if I come back from injury, there's no guarantee that I'm going to go back to being a starter.
Right.
So I thought about that for a minute, and it scared me that this, you know, I may have played my last football game. And so I made a commitment to myself again. I said, you know what? If I come back and I'm able to play, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm just going to go all out. I'm not going to think about anybody else and what they think about me. I'm just going to play the game like I did as a kid, you know, kid from San Diego, and really enjoy it. And that's what I did when I got back, man. I just really transformed into a different player. And I've been that same player when I got back from that time all the way into my pro career. And it was just a guy who just did everything he can do to be the best running back he can be, best football player, and not thinking about anything other than that. And that was my focus for those last 4 games. And really that kind of took me into my pro career and all the way through it.
Yeah, you talked about cost and price. I thought that was beautiful. Like, what's it going to cost for me to get myself to be the best, and how much I have to put in? And on the other side, what happens if I don't? What's the cost of that, right?
Right.
I mean, that's
that. And that cost is really not living up. And there's so many people that come to you, you know, come to me and they say, hey, man, you know, I was a good football player, but, you know, I quit, or, you know, I did something where now I regret it. And to me, that's the cost. The cost that you pay is that you're going to always regret it, because you never know if you don't try to do it and it doesn't happen. You're going to always have that in the back of your head. And I don't ever want to live with regret. And that was one thing I said. As long as I walk off that football field knowing I did the best that I can do, I can live with that. Live with any results that happen from that.
Yeah, and that cost that you just talked about not doing it is just huge. It's the ultimate cost, I'd almost say. Verizon, you're working with them today. Verizon Up, giving you the once-in-a-lifetime experience that you really want. Trip to Minneapolis for Super Bowl 52, Tuesday, January 16th, Monday, January 22. Verizon Up members have the opportunity to secure a trip for two to Minneapolis. You can visit Verizon.com. All right, let's get Kern here. Your thoughts on the playoffs right now. Will the Super Bowl will Minnesota be on their home field come Super Bowl Sunday? What do you think about that?
I'm saying no, they won't. You said Super Bowl Sunday? That's a tough one, man, because I just don't feel good about the quarterback situation. And other than that, I think you're talking about their defense and, you know, the back end of the defense. It looks good. They've got players and playmakers, and they really make you work to put points on the board. I'm not sure, and you have to see what Case can do. I think that's the biggest question mark, obviously. They don't really have a strong running game. It's not like this one you can turn over and say, Jarrett McKinnon, Latavius Murray, go to work. I mean, it's decent. They have good wide receivers. I mean, Diggs is a hell of a receiver, you know. So they've got some good pieces there, but I think it all goes back to the quarterback situation. And they're playing a team in the Saints right now that I think is probably playing the best football of these playoff teams, and it's going to be a challenge for them to get that one done.
So you're picking New Orleans this weekend. Bottom line, you like
them. I am. Yeah. And picking the Saints, yes.
Yes. Okay, so let's do the other NFC game with, I mean, what do you think of the quarterback situation there? Can Nick Foles win a playoff game? It is at home, obviously, but you've got a veteran Matt Ryan and Atlanta team that maybe they're feeling that confidence all of a sudden again.
I was always told, man, when you look at matchups, you have to start with that position. And you got a veteran quarterback in Matt Ryan who is not only a good quarterback, that he is coming off of not only disappointing from last year's Super Bowl, but I think that win in Los Angeles is something that I've been there before. When you travel, when you you beat teams in the playoffs, it gives you just a different sense of what you can accomplish as a team. And they're riding high. And what I've seen from the Eagles the last couple of weeks, I'm just not sure. No, I'm not sure. I'm sure that this game for me looks like it's going to be an Atlanta Falcon win. And I think the two teams who have home field advantage right now are the two teams from a quarterback situation are just not positioned well at this point. So I think I'm taking the Falcons in this one.
AFC wise, do you see an upset potential in either game? I mean, obviously Jacksonville, I would think, has a better shot, but do you think it just goes chalk Patriots and the Steelers?
I think so. Yeah. I think, and the AFC is different because all the experienced quarterbacks are actually playing at home on better teams. And I know what happened when Jacksonville played Pittsburgh early in the season. I know Ben 5 picks, Fournette 185 yards rushing. I don't see that same story. I mean, same stat line happening. If you're Pittsburgh, there's no way you can let Fournette beat you. And yep, that's the bottom line. So Blake Bortles, it's going to be up to him to get it done. And I doubt that Jalen Ramsey goes in there and gets, two picks. I think Ben's going to be careful with the football. This is really about, you got to say that Lev Bell probably going to show out. And I think Brown's going to be healthy enough to play.
Let me do the final two here. We got to talk about two of your former teams. Number one, let's start with the Denver Broncos. Is John Elway the right guy to get this thing turned around? I know he was a teammate, and he means a lot to you, but is he the right guy to be leading the Broncos right now?
Of course he is, man. Is there any doubt about that? Hold on, here's how this is crazy. The man just won your Super Bowl 2 years ago. He's taken a team to a Super Bowl 4 years ago. So, yes, he's the right guy. There's going to be down years. Is he struggling to find a quarterback? Absolutely. Do I think he'll get a turnaround? Yes, because he's aggressive. And he's a guy that's not going to wait for a quarterback to mature in the offense. He's going to go find him one. And John is all about now. He's not about trying to, get a quarterback in the system and raise him. And he had to do that because when Peyton walked out the door and Brock walked out the door on him, yeah, it left him in a bad situation. So, but I think what John understands is that this game is won. It's not won necessarily with great quarterback play, but you've got to have a competent quarterback who understands what the big game plan is. And veteran quarterbacks who knows what's going on, don't have to be super talented, I think gives them a good chance. And we've got, a few that they can go after this year. And if they can get those and their defense is still intact, yeah, John will turn this thing around.
Time to move on from Paxton Lynch, or is it too early?
At this point, I haven't seen what I think we should have seen so far from Paxton. I don't think Paxton is the future in Denver, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and what about Vance Joseph? Huge staff changes going into a second year, and I don't know if it was overwhelmed or the roster obviously wasn't perfect either. Is Vance the right guy?
Vance is the right guy, and you've got to give him at least a second year at a minimum, because there's things you do in the first year. You have to go back and make corrections. You talked about some of the changes with the staff, and they'll sit down as a a team to figure out what's the best plan moving forward. But he didn't have a quarterback, So and I would say at a minimum, you leave him there for another year. But I know Vance very well, and I certainly believe that Vance is the right guy.
All right, and lastly here, what happened to your dogs, man? 13-0, 20-7. You know that all of college football was rooting for you, right?
I mean, I felt the love, man. I really did.
Yeah. So what happened?
I felt the love. Well, it's to me was kind of the typical sort of you have one team who kind of know they can win, mm-hmm, and you have another team who hope they can win. And that's where it got down to. Later in that game, you can sense that Georgia was sort of playing not to lose, going by the book, saying, hey, let's speed the game up, let's protect this lead. And when you start protecting leads in games like that, that's when you stop being aggressive. It's when another team is being aggressive. It's hard to maintain that edge. And that's what they did. The play calling became a little conservative. Of course, the referees in that game was bad calls from some of the refs in that game. And then the ball was just bouncing all crazy ways. And they lost their momentum in the fourth quarter. And, yeah, and then, of course, obviously you go to overtime and you got a chance to win the game. And cover two coverage, and got a freshman in there who's playing out of his mind and makes a nice throw. So
yeah,
it was heartbreaking, man. I was on the sideline when that pass was completed, and it was man, I was sick.
Yeah, it sounds like you still are just a little bit, and I get it.
You don't get over these things this quick, man. It's not that easy.
You don't. All right, again, you're working with Verizon Super Opportunity Tuesday, January 16th, Monday, January 22, trip for two to Minneapolis, exclusive Super Bowl weekend experience, chance to attend the game, see concerts up close, meet NFL players like TD, the whole thing. And last one here, TD. You were eating hot dogs thinking you were going to get cut by the Denver Broncos in a preseason game in Japan, and they were like, hey, yo, get in there, and then you make a play, and now you're in the Hall of Fame, and now you're working, you know, doing everything you're doing today. That's pretty incredible, isn't it?
It is, and it goes back to the story of you don't know what your future holds. You don't know what's in store for you and what God has in store for you, so you know, we can't plan our lives out. We try to, but we don't have control over that. And the only thing you can do is be as good as you can be in the moment and try to put yourself in a position for success. And that's what I tried to do. And that moment, you know, when I was on the sideline and they told me to go in, the first thing on my mind was, now is the time. And I recognized the opportunity was now. And I knew I had to go make a play. And that's what I wanted to do, just go make that play. And that's what I did.
A sweet hit. I mean, that was.
Yeah, it was the clinic, man. It was a nice form tackle.
It was. TD, always appreciated watching you, listening to you, and great to talk to you today. And continued success to you, and appreciate you working with Verizon.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
Terrell Davis, the Hall of Famer, reminding everybody, get a quarterback. That is how you win the Super Bowl. Hope you enjoyed it.